Suns, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Dan Friedel filling in for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The big news over the weekend here in North America came from a golf course near Atlanta, Georgia. That's where soon-to-be 43-year-old Tiger Woods won his first tournament in almost 1,900 days. Woods won the Tour Championship at the Eastlake Golf Club by 2 strokes over Billy Horschel on Sunday evening. The last tournament Woods won was in 2013. It was his 79th. This was his 80th, and put him 2 victories behind legendary Sam Snead, who holds the PGA's record for victories. At the podium after the tournament, Woods said at one point he was just wondering if he could live his life without feeling the pain in his knee and back that had diminished his play and his quality of life.
Probably the low point was not knowing that if I ever be able to live pain-free again. Am I going to be able to sit, stand, walk, lay down without feeling the pain that I was in? And I just didn't want to live that way. You know, this is how the rest of my life is going to be. Just to be able to compete and play again this year, that's a hell of a comeback. As I said, some of the people are very close to me. They've seen what I've gone through. I was alluding to some of the players have seen what I've gone through, and they know how hard it was just to get back to playing golf again and forget the elite level. Just be able to play golf again and enjoy being with my kids and living that life. And then, lo and behold, I'm able to do this and, win a golf tournament.
That's Tiger Woods talking about his Tour Championship victory on Sunday in Atlanta. In his post-tournament press conference, Woods made sure to thank his fellow players for their support during his comeback. Woods will certainly be looking for support later this week in France as the Ryder Cup tees off. Be sure to listen to the Sunny Side of Sports this week for more on the tournament near Paris. I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now let's turn to the world of boxing. On Friday's show, Sonny previewed the Anthony Joshua versus Alexander Povetkin bout, which took place on Saturday night at London's Wembley Stadium. It was all Joshua. One British newspaper called the 7th round knockout a brutal demolition. Now the question comes up, who will be next for Joshua? To help answer this and look at Joshua, who is of Nigerian heritage, we're joined by Iron Mike Mbonye, who caught up with former African super lightweight champion Obisia Nwankamba.
Well, Joshua is at a very high peak now because already he's putting on crown before he even meets the Russian man. So I believe strongly that any person who would dethrone a king has to be something, there must be something extra in you.
There are 2 potential challengers for Joshua now. Deontay Wilder, the American, and Tyson Fury, the British boxer. What do you think will happen if Joshua meets any of them?
Right now, I am just seeing Joshua having all advantage as a world champion in that very category. For any person to dethrone him there, like I said, you must have something extra with you. Because right now, he has everything. He has everything is in his position. He has the best technical and tactical coaches. And he has everything, many, many things that makes a man a champion, really. And crowns a man is with Joshua. So any person who will, we must be somebody that really have something extra. I saw these American people, yes, it's a threat to him in retreat. It's not going to be easy, but at the same time, because that this heavyweight title has always belonged to Americans. So they have, and they are the only problem which Joshua will have in future. But right now, Joshua is a world champ. A champ is a champ, anytime, any day.
Do you think Joshua's victory will serve as a motivation to young boxers in Nigeria and indeed Africa?
You see, Joshua is a very, very lucky child. Very, very lucky child. We don't have people who encourage sports like British people. And I'm telling you the truth that Joshua is highly privileged. In Nigeria here, we have a lot of strong boxers, a lot of boxers that that can even do it. Like Joshua did. Do it like Edinduku do. Do it even more than the way Obisia did it. But the problem we have is that we don't have people who will make you what you want to be. But in Britain, it's like that. Look at the money they spend. Almost, we had it, we read it, that they spent 2.something billion to bring Joshua up. Can Nigeria do that? And the people who are not social enough to uplift their children, tell me how they can achieve that. I am telling you the truth, we have a lot of talented boxers in America, everywhere they come here to come and pick them up. But for we to nourish these children and take them to that very level, Nigeria does not, very backward.
Which way forward now to get these young talents to become future Anthony Joshuas of Nigeria and indeed of the world?
Look at about, I want to tell you something. Just last year, we lost three world-rated boxers. Drew Dollar was almost number three rated in the world. Latif Power was climbed to number two rated in the world. Segun Ajose, the same thing, climbed out of number five rated in the world. These are the level and shape people who have become a world champion if Nigeria cares. But I am telling you, these people now, they are almost out of the ratings. Three we had last year. If it were in Britain, they will not lose them. I don't see why Nigerians are clamoring about Joshua. Joshua is not praying to be a Nigerian. We are not encouraging things. If I'm telling you, the world champions are rotting here every day. These people, I told you, they are two world heavyweights, and the other one is a lightweight.
That's Iron Mike Mbonya talking with Nigerian boxing coach Obisia Nwankpa about Anthony Joshua's big win on Saturday night in London's Wembley Stadium. I'm Dan Friedel, in for Sonny Young. And you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. With more African sports news and reaction, we're joined by Samson Omale from Abuja, Nigeria. He's got some info on the FIBA Women's World Cup basketball tournament, along with some other notes. Good evening, Samson.
We begin with the CAF Champions League, where Al Ahly has cruised into the semi-finals of the 2018 CAF Champions League after they claimed a 4-0 win over Horoya AC at the Al Salam Stadium in Cairo on Saturday night. The result in the second leg of the team's quarterfinals tie saw the Red Devils advance 4-0 on aggregate and set up a North African derby against Algeria's ES Setif in the final four next month. The teams will meet in Cairo and Setif on the 2nd and the 23rd of October, respectively. While the other semi-final sees Angola's Primeiro de Agosto face Tunisia giant Esperance de Tunis. Primeiro de Agosto earlier held TP Mazembe to a 1-1 draw to advance to the semi-finals after winning the tie on the away goal rule after a 1-1 draw on aggregate, while DR Congo's Mazembe are eliminated. Esperance de Tunis booked their place in the semi-finals of the 2018 CAF Champions League with a 1-0 win, 3-1 on aggregate over Tunisian rivals Atoll du Sahel at the Stade Olympique de Sousse. ES Setif booked their place in the 2018 CAF Champions League semi-finals at the expense of defending champions Wydad Casablanca following a 0-0 draw at the Stade Mohamed V in Casablanca. In women's football, South Africa claimed a thrilling 2-1 victory over Central African guest nation Cameroon in the final of the 2018 COSAFA Women's Championship as Refuelle Jane proved the hero with both goals at the Wolfson Stadium in Nelson Mandela Bay on Saturday. Jane backed a goal in each half as Bayana Bayana retained a title they won in Zimbabwe last year. It's a fifth win in six tournaments for the team and an excellent warm-up for the African Women's Championship in in Ghana in November. In basketball news, it was an historic day for Nigeria basketball team to this year's World Cup after they secured their first ever FIBA Women's Basketball World Cup win. The Tigress defeated Turkey 74 to 68 points on Sunday. The win for Nigeria also completed an impressive African double against European opposition, with Senegal having taken a thrilling triumph against Latvia earlier in the day. And now to athletics news. Stephen Makoka and Hilela Johannes of South Africa cruised to victories at the Sanlam Cape Town Marathon, an IWAF Gold Label Road Race on Sunday. Stephen Makoka wrapped up a fine win in 2 hours, 8 minutes, 31 seconds, setting the South Africa all-comers best and clocking the fastest time in the country since 1986. Makoka finished half a minute ahead of Kenyan Albert Korea, who clocked 2 hours, 9 minutes, 2 seconds. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. We hope you have a sporty week. One other note on the FIBA Women's Basketball Tournament in Tenerife, Spain. Team USA moved to 2-0 in the tournament's group stage on Sunday, defeating China 100-88. Brianna Stewart and Asia Wilson combined for 43 points on 16 of 20 shooting. Friend of the show, Nneka Ogumike, who we talked with recently when the team was in Washington, D.C. prepping for the tournament, chipped in with 6 points and 3 rebounds. Team USA finishes its group schedule with Latvia on Tuesday. I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. We'll head back to North America, where the world of tennis gathered for the Laver Cup in Chicago. The second edition of the Ryder Cup-style event matched the best men's players from Europe against the best men from the rest of the world. My VOA colleague Gwen Uten was following the tournament over the weekend and catches us up on the action from the Windy City. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Dan. On Sunday, Team Europe defeated Team World for the second straight year to win the Laver Cup title. Reporter Craig Gabriel was in Chicago for the big event and reports on the weekend of thrilling tennis action and the tournament's dramatic conclusion.
The noise levels could not have been any higher, as an amplified atmosphere had fans playing every point, every rally exchange between Team Europe and Team World. The final day saw the series advantage swing back and forth between the two sides. Bjorn Borg remained calm as he captained Europe, and John McEnroe was his animated self captaining World. World won the doubles as John Isner and Jack Sock beat Roger Federer and Alexander Zverev from match point down to snatch the series advantage. But then Federer played Isner in singles, and the Swiss saved match points in a thriller to win 6-7, 7-6, 10-7. Zverev rallied back against Kevin Anderson and won 6-7, 7-5, 10-7, and that gave Team Europe the necessary points to seal victory for the second straight year. Craig Gabriel for VOA Sports, Chicago.
Team World lost to Team Europe with a final score of 13-8. Team World came in as a bit of an underdog with hopes of snagging their first win at the event. After the loss, Team World captain John McEnroe said he knew the players on Team World would be tough to beat, but he says he's pleased with his team's performance.
I felt the team was going to perform well. I really did. I thought we had a great chance, and I mean, obviously, they've got two of the greatest players that ever lived and other tremendous players, but we battled hard. I knew our team spirit was great, and I thought we were going to win this. I really did. So, you know, we started a couple matches early. We could have won. We didn't. But, you know, we were sort of desperately unlucky, I think, in a way, and we could have very easily won this.
Things were looking very bright for Team World on the second day when Kevin Anderson defeated Team Europe's Novak Djokovic. At that point, Team Europe led by only 2 points at 7-5. Then, at the start of the final day, Team World took their first lead of the tournament at 8-7 when Team World's Jack Sock and John Isner slipped past Roger Federer and Alexander Zverev of Team Europe in doubles action. But Zverev redeemed himself in the final match against against Kevin Anderson. Zverev fought back from a first set loss to win the match and hand his team the Laver Cup title. Afterwards, he talked about the pressure he felt in that final match.
No, it was pretty good until I had about, 600 kilos of weight on me, and then I was like, just get the hell out of me. But it felt good. I mean, obviously, it was an amazing feeling. As I said, our team is amazing. Throughout the whole weekend, we had such great energy.
Last year's inaugural Laver Cup tournament in Prague was a huge success. And judging by the numbers, enthusiasm surrounding the event was matched in the United States as well. Over 93,000 spectators came out to watch the tournament, making it one of the largest single sporting events to be held in the city of Chicago. The Laver Cup is the brainchild of Roger Federer and named after Australian tennis legend Rod Laver. On Sunday, Federer explained the importance of the tournament for athletes across the globe and to the sport of tennis.
I just wanted everybody to have really a nice time, a good time, celebrate tennis, give the legends a platform, have the young guys rub shoulders with great players, future legends, legends already, like Borg and McEnroe and Laver, and having other legends around as well. I think it's so helpful, and it motivates you so much as a player to know its history a little bit.
Laver Cup organizers have announced the tournament will be held annually and take place 2 weeks after the U.S. Open. Laver Cup 2019 will be held in Geneva, Switzerland, where Team Europe will defend its title for a third year in a row. The Laver Cup is set to return to the United States in 2020. In other tennis news, on Sunday, U.S. Open champion Naomi Osaka lost her final match in front of a stunned home crowd at the Pan Pacific Open in Japan. She was defeated by Czech Republic's Karolina Pliskova in straight sets. It's been reported Osaka looked fatigued and anxious during her match, hitting a series of unforced errors and dropping her first set of the tournament. This is the second time Osaka has lost the final match of the Pan Pacific Open. She was the runner-up in 2016, losing to Denmark's Caroline Wozniacki. And that's all from me for now. More sporty news to come. Dan, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Gwen, we hope you have a sporty week, too.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Gwen just talked with us about the Laver Cup in Chicago, which was won by the European team once again. Speaking of European sports, we're joined now by Sunny Side of Sports contributor Prince Nesta, who has a bushel of Nesta nuggets from the world of European soccer. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Dan. A number of top African stars graced the European football playing fields in dramatic style and fashion during the weekend as they helped their sides secure important victories over their rivals. A close-range goal from Gabon captain Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang and French striker Alexander Lacazette ensured victory for Arsenal, who defeated Everton 2-0 at the Emirates Stadium. The Toffees, who've never won an away game against the Ghana since 1996, looked the more likely to score. But a man-of-the-match performance by shortstopper Peter Cech helped Unai Emery's side win their fourth match in a row and climb to sixth in the Premier League table. Liverpool showed both the spirit of their storied past and a newfound title-challenging steel as Jurgen Klopp oversaw a 3-0 win over Southampton. Goals from Egyptian star Mo Salah, Joel Matip and an own goal from defender Wesley Hodd ensured the Reds climbed to the top of the Premier League with their sixth straight win in the competition. Algerian winger Riyad Mahrez came off the bench to score twice as Manchester City thrashed Cardiff 5-0. The Bluebirds now find themselves second from the bottom of the table and are still searching for their first win this season. Nigerian prolific striker Iheanacho was also on the score sheet as Leicester City secured a comfortable 3-1 win over Huddersfield at the King Power Stadium.
Prince, I was pretty busy over the weekend with a lot of sports activities of my own, but I still managed to hear that Chelsea and Manchester United ran into some tough luck over the weekend.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right, Dan. These are not the results both teams would have wished for, although a point is always better than nothing. Chelsea's 100% start to the Premier League season came to an end at West Ham following a goalless draw at the London Stadium. The Blues playmaker Eden Hazard, who started the season in sublime form with 5 goals and 2 assists, was tightly marked by the stubborn West Ham defence, forcing Chelsea to drop into third place behind Manchester City in the table. And talking about Manchester, former Manchester United manager Sir Alex Ferguson was given a standing ovation as he returned to Old Trafford for the first time since having emergency brain surgery in May. Wolves manager Espirito Santo, who once played under Jose Mourinho at Porto, saw Manchester United take the lead in the 18th minute when Paul Pogba set up Fred. The celebration was short-lived after Joao Moutinho's superb strike saw the newly promoted Wolverhampton Wanderers avoid defeat at Old Trafford for the first time since November 1980. Manchester United now lies 7th in the Premier League table with 2 points behind Arsenal.
Prince, let's move across the channel. Did the African players in the French League manage to replicate the same performance as their counterparts in the English Premier League?
Yes, indeed, Dan. A few of them got their names on the score sheet. Cameroon international Jean-Eric Maxime Choupo-Moting led the pack as he scored his first goal for league leaders Paris Saint-Germain, who secured a 3-1 victory over Rennes. Lille climbed to second place with a 2-1 home victory over Nantes, thanks to goals by Jose Fonte and French footballer who's of Congolese descent Jonathan Ikone. Colombian striker Radamel Falcao scored a long-range thunderbolt, but also missed a string of chances as Monaco's poor start in Ligue 1 continued with a 1-1 draw against Nîmes.
Prince, there's news that a regular season Spanish League match may happen in late January between Barcelona and Girona in Miami, Florida. But I wonder, will we ever see Real Madrid play a regular season match in the U.S.?
Well, I've got some bad news for American La Liga fans. Unfortunately, Real Madrid president Florentino Perez has outrightly rejected such plans. He joins the Spanish Football Association and Spanish Footballers Union, who have both previously criticized the plan. Perez said, and I quote, "We will not go to the United States. I do not know to what interests it relates, but they are not to those of clubs nor of the fans. We refuse outright." So far, La Liga have agreed to move one of the season's games across the Atlantic Ocean, with Girona's home fixture against Barcelona in January set to take place at Miami's Hard Rock Stadium. In other news, Real Madrid aided Espanyol 1-0 at the Bernabeu, while Barcelona dropped points for the first time this season after a 2-2 draw with Girona at the Camp Nou. The draw puts Barcelona back to the top of the table ahead of Real Madrid, but only on goal difference. Finally, Cristiano Ronaldo was back to business in Italy as he scored a scuffed effort to help Juventus defeat Frosinone 2-0. The goal helped the 33-year-old to forget all about his tears in Valencia, where he left the field crying after he was harshly shown a red card during Juve's Champions League clash in the Spanish city last week. Ronaldo will be back again on the spotlight on Monday night in London as the British capital stages the annual FIFA Awards ceremony. He has been shortlisted for the FIFA Best Player Award with 2 other finalists, including Croatian playmaker Luka Modric and Liverpool and Egyptian forward Mo Salah. Stay tuned for all the FIFA Best Player Award results right here on the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm Prince Nesta. Back to you, Dan.
Thanks, Prince. We look forward to hearing from you again next week. And that wraps up the September 24th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Workinger and engineer John Dryden. and thank you for tuning in. I'm Dan Friedel in for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a great week. That's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hello, I'm Lenore Moudou, host of Health Chat. On September 26, the United Nations will hold a high-level meeting on tuberculosis with the goal to end the global TB epidemic by 2030. Join us this Tuesday as we discuss the significance of the upcoming UN meeting and look at the global fight against TB. Our guest is Gavin Churchyard, CEO of the Orom Institute in South Africa. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat, this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, world leaders gather in New York for the 2018 UN General Assembly. The theme of this year's debate, making the UN relevant to all people. Discussing the 73rd session of the UN General Assembly on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA, or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on the Voice of America.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there.
Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.